So we are holding on Lamed Amud Aleph, the sixth line of the wide lines. Lamed Amud Aleph, sixth line of the wide line. The Mishnah said Shnayim Remim Zakta. The Mishnah had said that if you have Dine Momenus, you can decide by a majority vote of one. You don't need a majority of two like you do for Dine Nefashis. Therefore, out of the basin of three, if two say that he's liable and one not, then he has to pay. Two say he's not liable, then he doesn't have to. So now the question is, Michtav Hechi Kaspi. So if you have a split decision like that, if two members of the Beis Din decide one way and the other one wanted to decide the other way, when we write out the Psak Din, how do we do it? We can't write that all three of them agree that this is the Din, because they didn't all three agree. Two of them said one way, one said the other.
You just write that in the three.
So how do we write that? Rabbi Yechanan Amar Zakkai. Rabbi Yechanan says you just write that he's not liable. Period. You write as if it was a unanimous opinion. Doesn't matter. Especially because we said in the Mishnah that you're not supposed to, one of the Dayanim is not supposed to go afterwards and say, Hoylech Rachel, he's not supposed to go and say, well, I would have wanted to exonerate you, but I was outvoted, etc. Rish Lakish Omer, Rish Lakish says, Pliny or Pliny Mezakin or Pliny or Pliny Mechayev. Pliny Mechayev, no, you actually write out who was Mezakin and who was Mechayev. What about the Lasalech Rachel? Right. So Tosfos just says, Mishum Loy Lasalech Rachel Ein Kan. There's no issue of Lasalech Rachel. Now Tosfos does not elaborate, why not? So before we should talk about the Nemukah Yosef and the Ram, talk about that there might be a difference. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about where you're not going to be writing the Psak Din. There's not always a need to write out a Psak Din, only if one or the other of the Bala Dinim demands it. Mehechem Dantuni, as the expression in the Gemara is, on what basis did you judge me? Then they have to write out a written opinion. So the Mishnah would be talking about where there's no reason to write a written opinion, so then there's no reason for the Bala Dinim to know who said he's liable, who said he's not. As opposed to, if you have to write out a written one, Rish Lakish takes the view that it's more important that it should be Mechzik Shikra. It shouldn't look like a lie, given that the fact is it wasn't a unanimous opinion, then you have no choice, Rish Lakish says, but to override the Lois Salas Rachel business and write out an opinion that actually says who said what.
One second. Rechilus is word of mouth. Here we're talking about a written decision.
It's the same thing, though. It amounts to that you would be informed. It amounts to that you would be informing that the point is you're going to be informing them who said what. So the Mishnah said that's the problem. Rish Lakish feels, though, that on the other hand, Mechzik Shikra is more important, and therefore, in the interest of not doing Mechzik Shikra, in the interest of not writing something which is going to look like a lie, because after all, it wasn't a unanimous opinion. If you're writing out a thing, then you have no choice but to write who said what.
By the way, you could write Lashon Hara too.
Yeah, that's true. Lashon Hara doesn't have to be. No, but that's the point. In other words. Same thing. Rechilus is a subspecies of Lashon Hara. The point is the Mishnah according to that is talking about when there's no particular reason for the Bala Dinim to know. Here we're talking about when there is a reason, namely that a written opinion has to be given. So therefore, Rish Lakish says that the
rendering the result of the decision does protect anonymity. And I don't see why it shouldn't be allowed.
Because the fact is all three of them did not agree. So how can you write?
But nobody said they didn't.
If you have a split decision, you can't write, says Rish Lakish, you can't write a Psak Din that says Pliny and Pliny and Pliny said that you're not liable, because that's not true. So therefore, you have no choice but to write Pliny and Pliny said you're not liable.
There's no decision.
What do you mean there's no decision? There is a decision. Two against one. But there's a decision.
So there is a decision. So why is it a lie?
Because it would be a lie to say that all three of them agreed with it, because not all three of them agreed with it. Rish Lakish figures that if you have an anonymous decision, it amounts to saying that all three of them agree. And therefore, Rish Lakish says, you can't do that. You necessarily have to write who said what. It means there's going to be rechilus. It means that you're informing who said what, which your Mishnah had said you're not supposed to do. Fine, but in this case, where you're writing it, and you're not doing it for the purpose of rechilus, you're writing it for the purpose of having a written record of the Din Torah, then you don't have a choice. You have to do that. Okay, then we have a third opinion. Rabbi Elazar, I mean, you've written is Dr. Pliny. Rabbi Elazar says what you do is you write out of the deliberations in the Beis Din, it came out that Pliny is Zaka. Meaning, in other words, so therefore it's sort of a compromise between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. You're not just writing Zaka and making it sound as if it's unanimous, because the fact is it wasn't. You're not writing the actual names of the Dayanim because you don't want to be Hoylech Rachel. So instead, what you do is you write through the deliberations, and the Beis Din came out that Pliny is Zaka, and that itself will make us understand that it wasn't a unanimous opinion. But on the other hand, without revealing who said what. Yes, so the question is my vinaya. What would be the practical difference? Or what's the practical difference? The practical difference is how you write it. But what's the underlying argument between the three of them? The answer is ikke vinaya l'shalumi. The nachmina between the three opinions would be l'shalumi ihu manasa badayu. Would he have to pay along with them? We're going to learn it. We learned briefly before, and we're going to learn in more detail in the next parak the dinim of when the dayanim have to pay if they rendered a wrong decision versus when not. You have the various possibilities. You have where the whole decision is just thrown out and you start all over again. If they have a Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, the case where the decision stands, but the dayan has to repay the one who money was wrongly taken from, and the case where the decision stands and the dayan does not have to repay. We've touched on it before. We're going to deal with it in more detail in the next paragraph. So let's say you have a case where, let's say, for example, you have a case, two of them voted that Pliny is liable and he has to pay X amount. The third one said, no, he's not liable, he should not have to pay. It turns out, in the end, the third one was correct, after all. Well, if the din torta is, if it's a case where the dayanim have to reimburse the wrong party, does he have to join in and pay his part, his one-third of that part? Dilamanda on the Zakai according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you just write a unanimous opinion, just say that that the guy is not liable, or in this case he is liable, Mishalim, then it would mean it's over the signatures of all three of them, of all three Dayanim, therefore, yeah, he's gonna have to join in and pay his one third. Well, Lamanda on a plenty Mizakan, plenty Machayev, and according to Rish Lakish that you actually name the Dayanim who said Zakai and the Dayanim who said Chayev, Loy Mishalim. Then fine. The statement that he's Zakai or Chayev is not over his signature, therefore he doesn't have to pay. Okay, so the question is why? Lamanda on the Zakai Mishalim, why? Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you just write Zakai without specifying, why should Mishalim? Why should the third one have to pay? Lema lahu, why can't that dayan tell the other one? See, I was right after all. If you had listened to me, after Nami lo shalmitun, then you wouldn't have to be paying either. Now, because you guys did the wrong decision, I should be dragged along with you when I'm the one who turns out right after all, and I was the one trying to convince you all this time that I was right. So no, that can't be the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish.
So he really wouldn't have to pay.
So he shouldn't have to pay in that case, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, yeah.
But I would argue,
the one who disagreed to the wrong decision should be
Toyev Dvar Mishnah, the whole thing would be thrown out, ain't it? Yeah. We're talking about the case where it's not Toyev, with Toyev Shikol Adaf, but they're not Mumkin L'Rabim, and therefore reimbursement has to be done. That's the case we're dealing with.
Right. So I guess he couldn't convince them.
Yeah. So Ella Ikabin. Yeah, but okay. Ella Ikabin Nair Lashalumi Inhu Monsidij. No, rather we can say that the Nafkamina is, should they have to pay his portion? In other words, again, let's say, for example, the Din Torah involved $100. So we're saying that the first thing we were thinking is that each of the Dayanim would have to pay 33, and we're saying no, the one who said that he doesn't have to pay, there's no reason he should have to reimburse. The question is, do each of the other two Dayanim have to pay 50? Or do they each pay their 33? Or do they each pay their 33? And the other and the guy is out 30. The guy's out 33. Yeah. So it would be like this. The Lamando, I'm a Zakai and Mishalmi. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that you write Zakai, then they have to pay the full amount. Because again, it's written over the signatures of all of them. As far as the Baladinim, the Baladinim don't know who said what. So therefore, as far as the Baladin is concerned, he's entitled to 100 back because there was wrongly decided. Lamanda Alma, plenty Mizakin, plenty Mechaibin, whereas according to Rish Lakish, that you name the actual Dayanim who said what? Loy Mishalmi, then they don't have to pay the whole amount, because the reason, according to Rish Lakish, why we're writing specifically who said what, is to say that only two of them subscribed to this decision, the other one disagreed with it, and therefore that kind of puts the Baldin on notice that should it turn out it was a wrong decision, then only the two of us who agreed with that are the ones who are going to have to pay. But not the whole thing, two out of three, two-thirds of the thing, in other words. The question is, still, why should we say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if you just write Zakai, you without specifying who said what, why should we say Mishalmi, why should we say that they have to pay that they have to pay it all. V'leim rulei adrabah, why can't they tell the other one? Ilav af b'hadon. Yeah, but if you hadn't been with us as a member of the Beis Din, lo have a solid dini midi, then there wouldn't have been in Torah at all, because you need three.
How can they say that? A Beis Din has to be three.
Exactly. So in other words, why are you off the hook? Why are you one of the three duly constituted members of the Beis Din? Why are you off the hook?
Oh, because a
Beis
Din is always three.
Because a Beis Din is always three. No, rather the argument, the three-way argument over here of Yechon and Bishlokish and Rebbe Lazar is on the matter of when the Mishnah said, Lay Selech Rochel Ba'amecha. Do we have to apply that over here? Rebbe Yechon, Rama Zakai, Mishum Lay Selech. So we reject the argument that it's a question of responsibility. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, the halacha is indeed, as brought in Shulchan Aruch, the two dayanim each only pay their part. The third dayan, in fact, does not pay. The third dayan who did decide it rightly but couldn't convince the other one, Taka does not have to pay his portion. Okay.
So the fact is you write
midivrei and nizak aponi. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar in this three-way machlokas, that what you do is you write midivrei and nizak aponi, that you write based on the deliberations in Beis Din, it came out the plenty of zakai. That itself, though, that informs the balaginim that you should know it wasn't a unanimous decision. Therefore, be aware that should the decision have to be reversed, you're not necessarily getting 100% of your money, because only two of the dayanim voted one way and one voted the other way. But without telling him actually which dayan said what, because that would be a problem of rishus.
When did we learn the difference, and when we take that the Beis Din is responsible? In case it's mistaken.
We're going to learn in the next paragraph. We'll learn the details of it.
But basically, what is
it? We'll see. We'll talk about it over there. Okay. So you'll remember that. Okay. It's going to be a whole story. Relax. It's a Mishnah and a Gemara. Okay.
They'll have questions. Don't worry.
So the problem is about Loisei Lecherochel. Rabbi Yechonon, I'm a Zakai, so therefore Rabbi Yechonon says you just write Zakai Mishum Loisei Lecherochel. So like the Mishnah said, otherwise you have a problem of Rechilus, that the Baal Adina being informed who said what, which is inappropriate. Rav Shlokish, I'm a plenty of plenty Mazakin, a plenty of plenty Machaibin. Rav Shlokish says you specify who said what, Mishum Demechtik Hashikra, because otherwise you have a problem that it looks like Shekhtar. You're going to write a unanimous decision, but it wasn't unanimous. Rav Elazar takes into consideration both of these concerns of Rav Yechonon and Rav Shlokish. Hilchah Kasvi Hachi, so therefore they have to write like this, Midivrein, Mizaka Plenty, based on their deliberations. Plenty came out to be innocent, or Plenty came out to be guilty, and on that basis the Balajin themselves will understand from the fact that it was written that way that it wasn't unanimous. We said in the Mishnah, Gomeres Adavah HaYimachnisin, although we said when they finished deliberating, the Dayanim, then they bring them in and they say Ish Plenty Atazaka, Ish Plenty Atachayim. So the question is, who's the them? Laman, the Gemara asks. Who will we bring back in? Ilem lebaladinim? Do you mean that you bring in the baladin? L'chora hosim kaini. Aren't they in there the whole time while the edim are being cross examined? B'pashtus, the baladin are there. The case has to be decided in their presence. The edim, I mean, have to be interrogated in their presence. El la'edim. So presumably, then the Mishnah means that you bring back in the edim. In which case, command which it implies, in other words, that we're bringing in one aid at a time, and having them testify. So command the like Reb Nosson. Now, who is that like? Apparently, that's not like Reb Nosson. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, la'olam ene dusin et tarefes ad shiur shnein kechad. Tanakama of the Braisa says edus never combines together unless the two edim see the edus together, for reasons that we'll discuss at the end of the Amud. Rabbi Yishur ben Kochaim, after the Bazaar Chazer, Rabbi Yishur ben Kochaim says, no, even if they see it one after the other, as
that's
it, one second. Hold on. The Eine Dusim, so that's one machlokas. And machlokas number two, the Eine Dusim Meskayemus are based in actually Edus Shnein Kechad. Their Edus cannot be accepted and based in unless they say Edus together. Now, that's not part of Rabbi Yishur ben Kochaim's statement. That's another statement of the Tanakhama, of the Braisa.
What's the link between
we're talking two different cases. One is that they need to see it together, and Rabbi Shrub and Kofa disagrees with that. The other is that their Aegis is not Miskayim based in unless they're, yeah, Rabbi Nathan Neumann. Rabbi Nathan says no. Shemin Dvorav Shalzeh Hayom. We can listen to one of them today. And when the other aid comes tomorrow, Shemin Dvorav, then based in can listen to what he has to say. So that's when we say that we're going to see later on. We'll talk about on Amud Beis. Do Rav Nosson and Rav Shrovan Kocha agree with each other, or maybe it's only a one-way agreement. Maybe only one of them agrees with the other, but the other does not. Whatever. We'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about that on Amud Beis. But the point is that for our purposes, what's important is the Mishnah is implying that that one aid is not there while you're interrogating the other, according to it sounds like you had both of them in there together, you interrogated them together, then now you bring them back in, afterwards you sent them out, now you're bringing them back in. That seems to work only according to the Tanna Kamma, according to Rav Nosson. Why should that be necessary? Bring them in one at a time.
A few thoughts before we learned, they try to skip and take one at a time, and then they interrogate one at a time.
So we want to interrogate them one at a time because we don't want them to coordinate what they're saying or whatever. But the Mishnah, but that's the thing. According to the Tanna Kamma of this Braisa, it sounds like that can't work. The fact is, you have to have them together. You'll just have to make sure you'll put a screen between them or whatever. But you're going to have to have that they say their ages one after the other in order for
it
to work.
Can you put them in two different rooms, but at the same time?
Well, you have to be able to hear that. You have to either shnei kafa until you hear them both together. So therefore, it has to be one after the other. Okay. The answer is loy. La'olam l'bali dinin. No, rather, we can say that after all, yes, the Mishnah is talking about that before you sent out the bali dinin, and now you bring them back in. Reb Nechemia. And therefore, our Mishnah does not have to disagree with Reb Nosson. It could be the Mishnah is saying you could do it either way. You could have both Edom together, or you could do them one after the other, according to the various opinions. The Mishnah is not getting into that. Rather, the Mishnah is talking about bali dinin was sent out, and now they're coming back in. And that would be according to Reb Nechemia, the Tanya of Nechemia. Kachay min hogan from the Kiyah Das of Yerushalayim. This was the minhag of the people of the pure-minded people of Yerushalayim. Machnis in the Baladinin, they would bring in the Baladinin, Rishayman of Tibre, Rishayman Dibre, and they listen to their claim to the respective claims. Or Machnis in the Edim, Rishayman Dibre, and then they bring in the Edim and listen to what the Edim have to say. Or Mitzianos and Machut, then they send out the Baladinim and maybe the Edim as well. And the Dayanim discussed the matter among themselves. Gomra is a dover, machnis and nois and chola, and then when they finish, they bring them back in. So then in that case, so the Mishnah would be according to the Nechemia that the Bala Dinim are not there while the Dayanim are discussing the case. Question is, well, Tanya, but we learn in another Braisa, Gomra, Sadova, Machnis, and Edim, but another Braisa says explicitly that when they finish discussing it, they bring back in the Edim. So that's not the Bala Dinim, but the Edim. Okay, the answer is that he's the loiker of Nelson. Fine, you have to say that Braisa does not go like Reb Nelson. To have a Braisa that disagrees with Reb Nelson is no big deal. There are Braisas all over the place. There can be Braisas representing many different opinions. But a Stam Mishnah, you should assume, goes according to all the Tanoim unless otherwise specified. Therefore, we wanted to make the Mishnah work according to both Tanna Kamma and Reb Nelson. The halacha is like Reb Nosson, that the Edim don't have to say one both at the same time. They can come even one today and one tomorrow and whatever.
It's not a requirement.
It's not, you can have them be both of them together, but you don't have to. You can also have them one after the other.
How can it be? If we don't want them to coordinate,
then we make sure we watch them, make sure they're not signaling or whatever to each other, whatever. Okay. Okay, getting back to this braisa, we said la'olam ein edus in the tzarefes. We said the first machloikas in the braisa was you can't combine together the two edim ad sheyiru shneim ka'echad unless they both see the thing at the same time. Rabbi Shrovan Kocha im after the bazach hazeh, and Rabbi Shrovan Kocha said no, even if they see it one after the other. So my kumisagi, what is the underlying machloikas between the chachamim and Rabbi Shrovan Kocha? The answer is iboyisem akrobi, iboyisem asvara. If you want, I can say that there's a pasuk you can find a pasuk that expresses what both of them are saying. Both Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shrovan Kocha can darshan the pasuk differently. The boyisem a svara, or I can find you a svara that they're arguing on. The boyisem a svara, you can start with the svara like this. You can argue if they're saying that they saw bezeh hazeh, not necessarily. What do we mean bezeh hazeh? It could mean, for example, that. Reuven is saying that he lent me that Reuven is saying that I saw Pliny lending Pliny a money and I was there to see it. And Shimon says the same thing. It wasn't necessarily the same loan. It may in fact, I mean the Pashtos, they may be talking about two different loans. in that case, then how can you combine them? A mona de komasi dehai, lo komasi dehai, the mona that one is testifying on, the other is not, or mona de komasi dehai, lo komasi dehai, and the other, and so you have one aid on each of two different loans. How is that acceptable? Therefore, the Chachamim say they have to see it shneim kafa. They both say on Monday he lent him a mona.
They don't have to be together right there in the same room.
They don't have to be there in the same room, but they both have to see the same thing. One can be watching from one room, the other can be watching from another room, but they both see the same. They both see the same event taking place. Yeah. Only by din and nefashis. Yeah, by din and nefashis, we'll learn about in Makkos whether they have to or not. But by din and nefashis, by din and mamonis next. Okay, the idach. Whereas what would Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha answer to that? He would say the fact is amona ba'alma chavayu kamasidi. Yes, but the fact of the matter is both of them are testifying that Pliny owes Pliny a mona. The bottom line is he owes him a mona. Who cares whether one testifies to one loan and the other to a different loan? The fact of the matter is between the two of them we see that he owes him a mona. So that's the underlying that could be a reason for their machlokes based on that svara. Or we both say makrua.
If they both see it separately, one at a time, there's no proof, but it's two monas.
It may be two monas, but at least it's one.
Maybe three, or maybe.
Maybe,
four.
Okay, but we don't have Eidos for that. Exactly. At least we have Eidos, but there's one. So Akaponim, at least, Reuven has the right to claim from Shimon, you owe me a mona. If he ends up bringing more Eidim, then sure, he can claim from two or three or whatever it is, but at least he's able to claim a mona on this basis, says the Rishon LeZion. Or the other possibility is you could say there's a pasuk that expresses this. The pasuk says, "Who aid a ra a yada?" The pasuk says that he is an aid, or he saw, or he knows. Then he, and now aid doesn't mean one single aid. It means this is the concept of shvuah to aidus. This is the concept of if I have a court case going on, I have a court case against somebody, and I say to you and you, I know you were there at the time. I'm mashbia you. I want to put you under an oath that you are gonna that you know that you were there and that you're gonna come and you're gonna come say Eidos for me and base it, and you say we don't know it. That would be that if it turns out that was a false shvuah, then they'd be chayav for shvuah Eidos. They'd be chayav a carbon oil of yerdik for it. So the pasuk says, "Who aid a ra yada?" On the face of it, the word aid means one aid, but it can't be. One aid is not enough to accomplish much in basing. V'tanya, and we learn the brisa, we learn the sota. Mimashma shenema lo yokum aid. Given that the pasuk says in Parshas Shoftim that one aid cannot stand up against anybody to convict him, and the word aid means singular. Any adeshu echad. The word aid means one single aid. Ma tam lema echad. So why does the pasuk continue with the word echad lo yokum aid echad beish? Zebana av means come to make a binyan av. Komakam shenema aid harekan shnayim. Whenever the pasuk says the word aid, it means two, because it doesn't mean one single aid. It means one aid dus, which requires two aidim. Adchi farat machal kalsav echad, unless the pasuk specifies by saying one. So when it says aid echad means exactly one aid, as opposed to other places. For example, when it says who aid ora ayada, doesn't mean one aid. It means two. So that's two aidos, right? So only if the guy would go over to two aidim and say mashbiach hanani that you're going to come and give aidos on my behalf, and they say we don't know anything, that it would turn out to be yes.
Why does
it turn out to
aidos directly?
Because aid means aidos. That's what it means. But that's the point. But after Rachmana Baloshin Chad continues though the Tanakama to say after all, Taka, why does the Torah use the singular form aid rather than the abstract noun aidos or whatever? Or they're explicitly saying Eidim, Lomeimar, to say Ad Bechazo Tavayu Kechad. The Tanakhama says, evidently, the Pasuk wants to tell us that the two Eidim have to see this thing as if they were one, meaning they both have to see the same event.
That's the exact
thing. The Idach, whereas what would Rabbi Yishra ben Korcha answer to that? He would say, "Who aid a ra a yada makom makom?" He would say, "Yes," but the pasuk continues, "Or he saw, or he knows," meaning no matter what, even if it's one today and one tomorrow, nevertheless, the fact is they can still come to Beis Din because they are testifying on the side. They are testifying on a mana, well, not necessarily the same, but they are testifying on a mana that Reuven owes Shimon. It may not necessarily be the same money; he may have borrowed from him twice, but at least we have evidence that he owes him one mana.
One aid is good enough for that.
That's what we're saying. One aid today and one aid tomorrow. One aid says he saw him lend him money on Monday, and the other says he saw him lend him money on Tuesday.
Each case is having.
But that's the point. Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha says you can combine them because the fact is between the two of them we know that he owes him a money.
At least
one money. We're going to talk about Amud Beis.
Yeah.
We're going to see on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about there are possibilities over here. We're going to talk about you can have the two Eidim might be both saying that Shimon said in our presence, saying after Medai, like we talked about yesterday, that I owe Reuben a mona. So it could be one of them. He said it to one on Monday, and he said it to the other on Tuesday. It can be halvah after halvah. We saw Reuben lend him a mona on Monday, and we saw, and another one says we saw him lend him a mona. I saw him lend him a mona on Tuesday. You could have hadah after halvah. You could have all the different cases. We'll talk about it on the page, about the details of that. Okay. Then the Braitha continued. We said the second machlokes in the Braitha was we cannot accept the edus and based in Aji Idus Shneimtechud unless both of them come to based in at the same time to give edus.
We have not. Edus.
Yes, so.
And before it says aid.
Is a lotion of a mission. The mission doesn't have to use the word aid the way the pasuk uses it. Their edus cannot be accepted and based in unless they both come to give edus at the same time. We said Rav Nosson and Shemin Dvorov Shal Zehayon. Rav Nosson says you can listen to one of them today. And then when the other aid comes tomorrow, we'll listen to what he has to say. So again, what is the underlying machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Nosson? Again, again, you can find a svara that they're arguing and you can find a pasuk that they're arguing on. Namely, your boy's famous svara is like this. Mar Savar, the Tanakhama figures, aid echod ki osi l'shvua, osi l'mamoyna l'osi. The fact is, if only one aid comes to Beis Din, all he can accomplish is to make the guy be chayav shvua. If Reuben tells Shimon, you owe me, if he brings Shimon to, takes Shimon to Beis Din, you owe me a mana, and he only has one aid, that's not enough to make Shimon pay, but it's enough to make Shimon swear that he doesn't owe that mana. Even if otherwise he wouldn't be chayav because he's tofer akel, let's say. So therefore, so the Tanakhama figures, one aid only comes for the purpose of shvua. L'mamoyna lo yosi, he can't possibly make Shimon have to pay the actual money. Therefore, when you have another aid show up, when you have an aid show up later, how are you combining together two shvuas to make mamon? Each one of them is going to accomplish that he can then have to swear shvua. You can't combine the two of them together to make him have to pay mamon. Therefore, it has to be they come at the same time. The Idach, whereas Rabbi Nosson would answer to that, after all, so, and if they come at the same time, do they both speak with one voice? You still have one saying as Eidos and then the other, right there in the base of Shtibble. So therefore, obviously you combine it that way. So therefore, no big deal to combine it if it's one day and one the next day.
But even now, like we said in previous, it sounds like it's two different monies, possibly.
Doesn't matter. It may be, it may not. No. If you were talking about, this is a separate machloikas from the previous one. We're going to see on Amud Beis. Not necessarily does Rav Nosson have to agree with Rabbi Yishrov and Korcha. Might be that the two of them are saying that on Monday we saw him lend him a money. However, one of them comes to Beis Din on Tuesday and the other one comes on Wednesday, let's say.
So they both agree on one money here in the second case.
In the second case, they're both testifying on the same exact loan. They're just coming to Beis Din at different times. Yeah. Even then, the Tanakhama of the second machloikas says that doesn't work, and Rav Nosson says it does. Or you could say that they're basing themselves on the pasuk. Imlo yagid v'nasa avona. The pasuk says if he doesn't tell his edus in Beis Din after the guy made him swear that you know it, then he'll bear his guilt until he brings his korban. So therefore, what we would say is that both of the opinions in the second part of the Braisa agree with the Rabbanon of the first part of the Braisa. In other words, Rav Nosson would disagree with Rabbi Yishrov ben Korcha. This, like we just said, this is what Rabbi Yishrov ben Korcha said, that the Edim can say, that one aid can say, I saw a halva on Monday, and the other one says, I saw a halva on Tuesday, and we can combine them. Rav Nosson wouldn't agree with that. He would agree with the Rabbanon against Rabbi Yishrov ben Korcha that they have to see the same event on the same day. They can just come to Beis Din at different times. So therefore, the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Nosson would be: do we make a hekesh? Do we compare? After all, the pasuk is mentioning right next to each other a raw. It says that he saw it, and then a couple of words later in the pasuk, in more yagid, if he doesn't come to Beis Din, tell it. So do we make a hekesh between those two things? The machlokes is, do we make a hekesh between the telling in Beis Din and the seeing of the Eidos? Hagadah, meaning the telling of it in Beis Din. Do we compare that to Re'iyah, to seeing it? Mar Sava Makshin and Hagadah L'Re'iyah, namely the Tanakhama would say we do compare them, so therefore just as we say that the Re'iyah has to be at the same time, therefore the Hagadah also has to be at the same time. They have to both come to Beis Din together. Mar Sava L'Makshin, whereas Rav Nosson would hold you don't necessarily need to make that, you don't make that Hekesh, and therefore not necessarily. They do have to see it at the same time, they don't have to come give aid at the same time.
A different way of saying the same thing.
No, it's a, no, it's a, it, what do you mean? Before we were saying based on a svara, now we're saying based on a pasuk.
The pasuk being,
Ra'ah or Yada in lo Yagid. Do we compare Ra'ah to Yagid or not? If we say yes, then they have to both come at the same time. If we don't, then it means they have to see it at the same time, they don't have to come at the same time.
Okay.
All right, so now we got to get into the question, who is the halacha like? So the Gemara tells it, gets into it by way of a story. Reb Shimon ben El Yochim have a mishtikid aleid Reb Yosef ben Chanina l'mismechei. Reb Shimon ben El Yochim really was trying hard. He's looking out. He's trying to get things together to give Reb Yosef ben Chanina smicha. Mishtikid is meloshen shoyked. Like he was Rashi says in the Tzafe, he was waiting on the chazer and he's trying to arrange it. The shoyked and he's being diligent to try and get him smicha, and it wasn't working out. It wasn't working out. They weren't able to get enough chachamim together or whatever it was. I mean, we learned in the first parak that technically you only need, according to the Rambam anyway, you only need one samuch and two others who don't have smicha, or even according to, even if we don't go like the Rambam, you need three smuchim. Whatever it was, they used to do it as a more public thing, and then whatever it was, Reb Shimon and Yochim, it wasn't working out. He was never able to get it together.
Well, the Talmud is dangerous, is awesome.
Maybe. Yom Echad have a Yosef Kameid Rav Yechanan. One time it happened, Rav Shimon ben El Yochim is sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Yechanan. Omelahu, Rav Yechanan says to his Talmudim, Mi ikka de yada halacha k'Rav Yishro ben Karcha Eloi. Is there anybody here who knows whether the halacha is like Rav Yishro ben Karcha or not? Is it taka able, like we said in the first Machlokas, that one aide can see an event on Monday and the other see an event on Tuesday and they should be mitzvah? Amalei Rav Shimon ben El Yochim, Dein Yoda. So Rav Shimon ben El Yochim says to Rav Yechanan, this one, meaning Rav Yosef ben Chanina, he knows. Amalei, so Rav Yechanan says, okay, Lema Izu. Well then, let him say. Let him
know himself.
Rav Yechanan himself didn't know whether the halacha is like Rav Yosef ben Karcha. He wanted to know, is there anybody among his Talmidim who heard from their Rebbeim whether the halacha is like Rav Yosef ben Karcha or not? So Rav Shimon ben El Yochim, it says to Rav Yechanan, this one knows. He's trying to put his Talmud. Rav Yosef ben Chanina.
Rav Shimon
ben
El Yochim saying this one knows, implies I don't.
Yes, fine. Amalei leima izu. So Rav Yechanan says, okay, so then let him speak up. Amalei, so Rav Shimon ben El Yochim, see, now he has his chance. He says, Amalei lismechei ma'abredesha. First, Rebbe, give him smicha. Then we'll have him speak up. Why he did that, we'll talk about in a second what the Marashal says on the story. First, give him smicha. Samche, okay, so Rav Yechanan to Rav Yishro ben Karcha, to Rav Yishro, to Rav Shimon ben El Yochim, have smicha already, to Rav Yosef ben Chanina, to Rav Yosef, again, you have three people involved over here, we've got to keep it straight. You got Rav Yechanan, you got Rav Shimon ben El Yochim, and you got Rav Yosef ben Chanina. So Rav Shimon ben El Yochim proposes, he knows the answer, this guy sitting back here knows the answer, Rav Yosef ben Chanina, so give him smicha, and then he'll speak up and tell you what he knows. Omalei, so he gave him smicha. Omalei, and then Rabbi Yechanan tells him, Bni emrali kesed shamaita. So tell me, what did you hear? How did you hear that the halach, what's your shmur that you have that the halach is like Rabbi Yishro ben Karcha? Or not? Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef Chanina answers, Kach shamaiti shamoide Rabbi Yishro ben Karcha l'Rab Nassan. What I heard is that Rabbi Yishro ben Karcha agrees with Rab Nassan. In other words, that the first machloikas, again, we had Rabbi Yishro ben Karcha saying that they can see it at different times. He would also agree with Rabbi Nassan that not only that, they can also come to Beis Din at different times to testify.
He's the most mayfield, basically.
Yes. Omar, so Rabbi Yechanan says, well, Zehu Tzrachi. Did I need that? I knew that on my own. Because after all, it's a logical thing. Hashto mar ikariya bahadiya dadi madach. When it comes to the actual seeing, never mind the heckish. When it comes to the actual seeing of the eidos, which is the main thing to see it, Rabbi Shrovan bahadiya dadi to see it together. Om Rabbi Shrovan Karcha loy ba'inen, and Rabbi Shrovan Karcha still says they don't need to see it together. Hagodim and Baya. Do I need to be told that Rabbi Shrovan Karcha would say they don't have to come to Beis Din at the same time?
He knew that Rabbi Yishro.
He knew that Rabbi Shrovan. Yeah. Agrees with that they didn't need to see it together. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan figured logically that Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha surely doesn't hold they need to come to Beis Din together.
Right.
Yeah. So therefore, in other words, I'm disappointed. Yeah, I gave you smicha expecting that you're going to tell me something new, and you haven't told me anything new. One second. Let's learn. Omalei, so Rabbi Yechanan tells him, okay, the fact is, fine, bottom line, since you've already come up, since you've gotten smicha, then you're not going to go down. We're not going to revoke your smicha, even though it turns out that, I don't agree with you, but I don't think that you told me anything new, but nevertheless, once you got smicha already, then fine, we'll keep it. So what's going on over here? So the Maharshal explains that, first of all, the reason Rav Shimon ben Eliakim suggested to give him smicha first is because otherwise, whatever he says, whatever logic or whatever he comes up with, who says you can pask in halacha like it? Once he has smicha, then you know he's reliable enough. You don't give somebody smicha unless you know that he's reliable. So therefore, give him smicha, and that way, what he says, you know you'll be able to...
Did it sound a bit suspicious that he would be asked to give smicha to someone
because he knew that he wouldn't have given Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina smicha unless he knew that he knows his stuff in general. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim tells him, if you want to hear from him what the halacha is like in this specific case, in order to be soimach on him, he needs smicha, otherwise it's a Talmud, and then you're not going to be able to rely on what he says anyway. So what's the deal? He explained that the discussion was over here basically was saying that if Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina is saying that Rabbi Shua ben Kocha agrees with Rabbi Nosson, the implication is that the reverse is not true. Rabbi Nosson does not necessarily agree with Rabbi Shua ben Kocha. Now, since the halacha is like Rabbi Nosson and Dini Mominus in general, that amounts to saying the halacha is not like Rabbi Shua ben Kocha.
If they don't agree.
However, Rabbi Yochanan says I didn't really need to be told that. I was looking to see. I like Rabbi Shua ben Kocha's svara. I would have liked to have some kind of basis to be able to say the halacha is like him. You're telling me that the halacha is not like him. Fine, I could have figured out by myself. But I wanted to hear whether you have any basis that you learned from your rebbeim to say the halacha is like Rabbi Shua ben Kocha. Okay, but the fact is you didn't tell me anything I didn't already know, but the fact is I gave you smicha and I'm not going to revoke it. So the Maharshal goes on to say over there that if you gave smicha completely based on false pretenses, let's say you thought the guy was Tanakh Chacham and it turns out he wasn't, sure, you can revoke it. It would be like a Baal Mum for the Mizbeach or something. But here it wasn't false pretenses. It's not that Rabbi Shimon ben Chanina doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just in this particular case, he wasn't telling Rabbi Yochanan anything that he didn't already know. Okay, the Binyan Shloima has a different and more elaborate explanation on it, that it has to do with what we were talking about on Amud Aleph, the basis, the Svara versus the Pesukim that we darshan this from. So therefore, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan effectively is saying to Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina, you're misunderstanding what the basis of Rabbi Yosi ben Kocha's opinion is. You're assuming that he's basing himself on the svara, but he may be basing himself on the pasuk. And in that case, then it's just a matter of whether we use the hekesh or not. So therefore, according to that explanation, Rabbi Yochanan is saying you actually are misunderstanding what Rabbi Shua ben Kocha is saying. By rights, I should revoke your smicha for that because it's not just that you didn't tell me anything new, but you misunderstood. But okay, I gave you smicha. I'm not going to revoke.
Instead of thinking that he was basing himself on the pasuk, he was.
Okay, bottom line is, though, the halacha is like Rabbi Shua ben Kocha, both when it comes to Eidus of Karka and Eidus of Metalflin. So that they can see separate things. Meaning, so here we're talking about when it comes to karka, it can't mean that he sold it twice. You don't sell karka twice, as the Gemara is going to talk about. So therefore, with karka, what it must mean is there's two hadois. On Monday, Reuven comes to Beis Din and says on Monday he said this guy said he was moida that this karka belongs to Pliny, and Shimon comes to Beis Din and says on Tuesday he told me the same thing. So the halacha would be like him as far as karka and as far as metalflin, even if it's talking about two separate halvois, because there money is fungible, and therefore the fact is he owes him a mana.
Or more,
but at least a mana, yeah. Okay. So that's what Rabbi Chiyah Ba'avim said. Ula Omar, on the other hand, that like Rabbi Shimon ben Kocha and both. On the other hand, Ula Omar, halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Kocha b'karkois, avaloi b'metalflin. Ula says that no, the halacha is taka like him with karka because the karka is right there in front of us, and the fact is both of them are saying that both of them amount what they're saying can be combined together to say that this karka belongs to Pliny because he was mowed down it twice, but not by Metalflin because it's two different loans. Amalei Abaya asks Ula halacha miklal b'tzligi. So when you say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Kocha when it comes to karka, are you implying that the Chachamim would disagree with him even on karka? Why? The Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha when it comes to Eidus on land. Because again, the fact of the matter is land is not fungible. This land is the same, the land that Reuven is saying Eidus on and Basin is the same land that Shimon is saying Eidus on. It has to be, because, and therefore the Chachamim wouldn't have a problem with that. So what do you mean to say? That Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha implying that the Chachamim would disagree. Furthermore, Rav Idi Ba'ovin taught a braisa in Nizikin of Karna. We've talked about that. We've come across this before in the Babas. This was a collection of braisas on Seder Nizikin that was compiled by Karna, one of the Uli Amiroim in the time of Rav and Shmuel. So Rav Idi Ba'ovin taught a braisa from that collection that says explicitly, Moedim Chacham le Rav Yishor ben Karcha be'edus v'chor, or be'edus karka. The Chachamim agree with Rav Yishor ben Karcha with certain kinds of edus. First of all, edus on a b'chor, namely that you have, the rule is that you have, a b'chor, we need a b'chor behema, that is, we don't need to have a mum before you
edus.
No, well, it is, well, because we're going to list several things, edus b'chor or edus karka. We're going to list four different kinds of edus, one of them being edus karka. Yeah.
And within this edus karka,
with that the Chachamim agree with Rav Yishor ben Karcha. Yeah.
Okay.
So the four edus in our as follows. Edus b'chor is like this. A b'chor behema we know needs, b'chor behema tahora, that is, we know needs a mum before you can shecht it and eat it nowadays when there's no basic English. Now, if a kohen is taking care of a b'chor, the problem is he has a vested interest in making a mum in it in order to be able to shecht it and eat it, because otherwise he may have to keep on raising it indefinitely. Therefore, the rule is that any mum that is possible could happen by human agency. We don't believe the kohen to say that it happened accidentally. If it's a mum that can't possibly happen, that a person can't possibly accomplish, let's say, for example, the animal has an extra leg or whatever, sure, of course, there's nothing to believe or not. But if it's a mum that conceivably a person could make on the animal, then a kohen is not believed to say that it happened accidentally, that it happened on its own.
What about the trick of putting a mum in the ear before it's born?
That's before it's born. That's fine. Then it doesn't have kedusha yet.
Yeah.
It's possible to, before the animal is fully born, before the b'chor is fully born, you make a mum in it before it's born, and then you reach into the mother's womb and make a mum in it. Yeah, then it's not a problem. You also have the concept of selling some part of the mother or the whole mother or whatever to a goy before it's born, which is a concept that the Rebbe talks about at the end of Seder Mechiras Chometz, Seder Mechiras Behema Makeres. Yeah. Anyway. The bottom line is, so if a kohen brings a b'chor to a chacham to say that it has a mum, he has to bring two edim that this mum happened on its own. So now what happens, for example, the animal has two mum. So suppose the kohen brings one aid to say that this mum happened on its own, and then he brings a different aid on the other mum. We're saying the Chachamim would agree that can combine, because the fact is he has two edim, that mum, just like in our case with Karka. Yeah, the fact is now this b'chor is mutter. Rashi brings another explanation, which he says he doesn't like, that we're talking about edus, that a Chacham already was master this b'chor. Rashi says that's not true, because you don't need two edim for that. Once the Chacham was master, even the Kohen himself is believed to say that, because then that's milta David Leguia. That's something which can easily be found out. All you need to do is call up the Chacham and find out, and if it turns out then you need somebody to say that the Chacham did it, but then even the Kohen himself, who's a Negeva Dover, can be believed, because it's very easy to check with the Chacham whether it's true or not. Okay, anyway, so that's one case, is edus b'chor. Number two of edus karka, which is what we're talking about. Number three of edus chazaka. When it comes to edus of chazaka, if one aid says, for example, that the person who's claiming ownership of this field had it for these 3 years, he had it for Tavshin Ayin Aleph Beis Gimel, and another aid comes and says he had it for Ayin Dalet Hay involved, that works. You can combine them. Over v'chein shavadein v'shavabat. And the same.
It's a difference.
Yeah. And the same thing, we can combine together two edim for edus as far as a boy or a girl, whether they're gdolim or not, as we're going to talk about in a minute. So the point is, you have four cases where Karna is saying, and Rav Idi Ba'avin is quoting this braisa, that the Chachamim agree with Rav Yishor ben Karcha, and one of them is edus karka. So why are you, Ulla, saying, implying that they argue, and therefore having to say, nevertheless, the halacha is like Rav Yishor ben Karcha? That's the answer. Gavra karamis. What are you bring a contradiction from one amora against another? Fine. Mar sava pligi or mar sava like pligi. Fine. Within the amoraim themselves, you have an argument whether it be Shur ben Karcha and the Chacham are arguing by Karka or not. When we say that one of these four cases where the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yishuv ben Parcha is by a ben or a bas, by a boy or a girl. Now we know that for a boy to be considered a man in halacha or a girl to be considered a woman, they have to have shtei sairos. They have to have two or more hairs. The original thing is that the original hairs that grow are in there on the pubic area. Later on, hair grows on various other parts of the body as well. And edus is needed for that. When it comes to a girl checking in that private area that the Gemara mentions in Nida, what you do is you have women check. It would be unsmiristic for men to check, so therefore you have women check and report to their husbands or whatever. You could also have conceivably, I guess, that first of all, Rashi meant, let's look at the Gemara. Yeah.
Well, it's
not allowed for edus, but in this case, yeah. What do we mean? My v'chein shuvah bein v'shuvah bas. What do we mean that you can combine together two edim as far as a boy or a girl? Ilema echad ome achas v'gabav echad ome achas v'kreisa. Are you going to say that it's talking about one aid comes and says, for example, that he saw one hair on gaba, and the other one says he saw one hair on kreisa? Gaba and kreisa literally mean the back and the stomach. But the Rashi in other places mentions, for example, that actually Rashi right over here says that Gaba means not literally her back, but rather it means on her knuckles, or the knuckles of her fingers or her toes.
Hair on the knuckles?
Yeah, when you get older, then hair.
Because
if you have hair there already, then you definitely have hair in the pubic area. If there's hair on the body grows later, then it does. Yeah, it does.
No, but it's not the point.
That's the point, therefore. So if one of them comes and says that I saw hair on her knuckles, on her finger knuckles or toe knuckles, as the case may be, then that would be enough. One hair over there is truly enough. And then the other one says I saw it on Gaba. The other one says I saw it on Kresa. There's other explanations. Other Rishonim talk about that it literally means the front and back of the pubic area, whatever, in which case it could happen, for example, not necessarily they meant to see it, but let's say accidentally they saw it, or for example, they could be giving aid to some nus, for example, where they need to, you know, they actually see her in position, whatever, anyway. We could be talking about also they're giving aid to some boy. We say should have been, should have asked, whatever, anyway. The bottom line is, if you have one aid saying he saw one hair in one area, and the other saying I saw one hair in the other area, well, that's not even, of course, you can't combine that. Hai chatsi davar v'chatsi edus. All you have is a half of a statement and a half of an edus. You can't combine them. You have to see two sirus. Well, not necessarily in the same, whether you have to see them in the same area as a machlokas rishonim, but that's not the point. The point is, even if you could say that they can combine in different areas of the body, but each one only saw one hair. That's not it. You can't combine together two edus and each on only a half a thing. One hair means nothing.
Yeah. To see one.
So therefore, ela echad on the shtayim v'gabav, echad on the shtayim v'kreisa. No, rather what it means is that one aid says I saw two hairs on gaba, the other one says I saw two hairs on kreisa. So each one by himself is saying a complete statement. Two sirus is enough to make her a gdola. All you need is the question, can we combine together those two edim? And Rabbi Yishuv ben Parcha is saying that you can, and according to Tauna's Braita, the Chachamim agree with that. Okay. Fine.
Not according to Ullah.
Well, not according to Ullah, but yeah. According to Tauna's Braita, yeah.
Okay. And that's the halacha.
The halacha is in fact, like Rabbi Yishuv ben Parcha throughout, yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Amr of Yosef, Ano Amina Mishmei de Ullah. Now, I said in the name of Ullah, Halacha Chir B'Yishuv ben Parcha Ben B'Chakaris Ben B'Tatlin. I reported in the name of Ullah that the halachas are Chir B'Yishuv ben Parcha both in Kaukah and B'Tatlin, which is different than what we said before. There was a version of Ullah that we had before said only Kaukaris, not B'Tatlin. Okay, so not Kauna. So Rabbi Yosef had a different version of what Ullah said. However, the Chachamim who came from Mechuza said, Omer Rav Zera Mishmei de Rav, that Rav Zera said in the name of Rav, V'kakois ein avaloyim metalpin. The halacha is like him in Kauka, but not metalpin, which is also the opposite. Rav Chiba Oven before reported in the name of Rav that the halacha is like him in both. So here now, the Chachamim of Mechuza reported that Rav Zera said in the name of Rav that no, only in one, not the other.
So how come?
Okay, so we have different versions of what Rav said and different versions of what Ullah said. It happens all the time in the Gemara.
And yet, you still paskin the halacha like the Chachamim agreed on both.
No, we said the Chachamim can agree with him on Kauka. The question is, do they agree with him in Metalpilim? So we're discussing the question: is the halacha like him in Metalpilim as well? That's what we're dealing with. You had Ullah before arguing that maybe the Chachamim disagree with him even on Karka. Now we're saying we have another version of Ullah's statement that the halacha is like him in both, meaning it doesn't matter whether the Chachamim agree with him or not. The halacha is like him in both. On the other hand, the Rabbanan of Mechuzah are saying that Rav said that no, the halacha is like him only in Karka. So Rav Latayme, Rav is going according to his own svara. The Omer Rav, so here's where we get into the four possible permutations. So again, what are the two Edom giving Edus on? Are they giving Edus on that one of them says he said on Monday that he owes this guy a money, and then the other one said he said to me on Tuesday that he owes him a money? That's Hodah Acha Hodah. Or you could have Hodah Acha Halva, that one of them says, I saw the loan on Monday, and the other one says, I heard from him the Hodah on Tuesday. You can have the other way around, Halva Acha Hodah. One says, I heard the Hodah, I heard him say that he owes him money on Monday, and the other one says, I saw him lending him a money on Tuesday. And you can have Halva Acha Halva, where each one sees a different Halva. So Rav says, only in some of those cases would we say that we can combine them. Hodah acha hodah, if you have one hodah after another, or hodah acha halva, or you have a hodah after halva, mitzvahfi, then those can combine, because then they can be talking about the same thing. Because logically, the hodah, no money is changing hands at the time, so he may well both times in front of both individual Edim have been referring back to the same loan. He had previously borrowed from Ruvain on Sunday. And now on Monday he says to one aide, and on Tuesday he says to the other aide, you should know I still owe that money.
That's two hodah.
And the same thing, hodah acha halvah. He borrowed the money on Sunday. He said in front of one aide. He says in front of another aide on Monday, I owe that money. Fine, that can combine because it can be talking about the same fact. But Rav says halvah acha halvah, halvah acha hodah. But if you have one halvah after another, where of necessity it's two separate transactions, or halvah acha hodah, or loan after hodah, where again, what's the hodah? The original hodah has to be on something other than the halvah, because halvah didn't take place yet.
Usually the hodah comes over.
So it should be after the halvah. If he's being moed before the halvah, means he's being moed down something else. Yeah. So therefore, Rav would say, loim et stafi, those wouldn't combine. So when we're saying that Reb Zeira reported that Rav said that the halacha is like a Rishon and Karcha only by Karcha, not by Metaltalin, the logic is on this basis. Because when they're being made on Metaltalin, when each one of them is saying a different halva, for example, Rav is saying they don't combine. On the other hand, Karcha is Karcha, it's the same piece of Karcha, so it's just a hodah each time, and Rav says two hodahs can combine.
Now that's why they agree on Karkas, but not on Metaltalin.
Well, that's why we say the halacha is like a Rishon and Karcha, and not Karcha, but not Metaltalin. So the Gemara tells further, Ashkechei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua. One time Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok met Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua, Amalei, and he asked him, Maishna Hava Acha Hava Adeloi. What's the difference why Rav would say the halacha can't be like that, where you can't combine the two Edim when it's one halva after another? He's asking him the logic like this. You're saying that one halva after one halva you can't combine the two Edim, Demana de Kachazi Hai la Kachazi Hai, because each one saw a different transaction involving a money. Well, in that case, hai hodah acha hodah nami. When it comes to two hodahs, one after the other, by the same logic, not necessarily is it the same money that he's being moed on.
That's true. Yeah.
The only because he can say lahai basra b'hai mona the odilah kamoch odilah nami kame plenty, because he can. The answer is the Amalei, because he can say the Amalei Lahai Basra, because he can say to the second one, Bahai Mona the Odile Kamach, this is the same mona that I owed that I was murdered in front of you. Odile Nami Kamitoini. That's the same one that I was murdered in front of the other one. That's why Hodah Acha Hodah can work. Because it could be Taka the same one. Fine. Okay.
So why
wait. Okay. Fine. The question still is, Akati Basra Yada Kamala Yada Dahada Ozil. Akati Basra Yada Kamala Yada. But don't you still have the problem? The second one knows now. So the second one, fine, knows that it's the same one. But the first one, the first one, when he comes to Beis Din to give his edus, he doesn't know that a Hadar took place in front of the second one. So they don't both know all the facts. See, the first aide thinks that he's giving aid on two different things. Yeah. The answer is the case must be that the loiver goes afterwards back to the first aid, and he tells him, "Hi, mona de odi lekamach, the same mona that I was murdered to you on Monday that I owe. Odi nam lenami kame plony. I was also murdered to it. I was also murdered on it in front of the second one."
So you have to make a statement.
Yeah.
Saying that we spent time about the same mona the second time,
right,
the first time.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't say that statement,
then it doesn't work. Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, Tanuach daita, she's nachdes daiti. Okay, your mind should be at rest. You put my mind at rest. You explained it well to me. Omalei, but Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua says, my nechusa, why are you so satisfied by that? You should know, the Rava v'itemer Rav Sheshes shod abanarga, because Rava, or some say Rav Sheshes, through an accident, and it was chopped this down, and it was pointed out that no, never mind, you could lie. That's not the point. Why is it in his interest to be murdered? No, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that understanding. Lav hainu hajar achalva. Isn't that then effectively the same thing as a hajar after halva? If one aid has to know what the other one saw, then you would have to explain the same thing, the hajar achahava, and that's not necessarily the case. Hajar achahava, the first aid saw the halva, he wasn't necessarily there for the hajar. Nobody needs to come and tell him afterwards that there was a hajar, and yet we say it's combined. So it doesn't have to be that one is told what the other one says. Amalei, so now I understand what I've heard about people from your town, that you chop down trees and then you plant them. In other words, look at this. You explained to me the kasha, and then you yourself went and slugged up your answer. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua was from Surah, I think.
Surah?
I think so. Not sure of that. But yeah, whatever it is, that's so. In other words, if you knew to begin with, the answer is not a good answer, you shouldn't have bothered telling it to me, and then only the shlug. Okay, but still. Okay, so we'll continue the discussion tomorrow, best.
So.